Please note that this episode talks about eating disorders and may touch on sensitive topics for some people. Hey, I'm Rami.
And I'm Andrea, and you're listening to What the Health? Yeah!
Andrea, it's been a long time. What's up?
Oh yeah, so long. I mean, like a grand total of what? 3 days? But I mean, everything's pretty okay on my end. Thanks for asking. Just the usual hustle. How are things in Egypt?
You know, it could be better. It's kind of usually 30 Celsius here now, so just sweating, mostly.
Sounds fun. I love walking outside and literally burning.
I honestly walk with my water in hand everywhere. You know, I used to have a professor who said, if you feel terrible, drink water. Then decide.
Wise words, but Ramadan must have been a tough time to follow that advice.
So close. And done! It's now Eid, actually, so a lot of people are celebrating with loads of food.
Yeah, you must be having a great time over there.
Yeah, love times like these.
And sounds like you have a great relationship with food.
Who doesn't? But it's true. It is actually a time to reflect on our relationship with food. You know, enduring Ramadan, especially with an eating disorder, is very difficult. One Muslim teenager from the States says it resembles war. It can lead to dangerous triggers, especially in cultures where body image standards are extreme.
Yeah, that actually segues nicely into what we're going to talk about today, eating disorders.
You know, it's actually not talked about that much here because of cultural reasons. It's complex, but in some cultures like Egypt, eating a lot is actually a sign of being rich. So appearance matters. And these attitudes may contribute to the risk of a child or a teen developing an eating disorder.
That makes total sense. And also, the stigma behind eating disorders are alive and well, unfortunately, wherever you're from.
And bringing up any disorder in general to light is difficult. Imagine 2,000 aunts telling you, hey, you need to eat, and then your grandma comes in and just puts the food on your plate. So how do you even start a conversation with them?
No, of course, and that's a big problem. Not to mention, there isn't just one generic eating disorder. We have anorexia, bulimia, binge eating, among others. And they're not limited to food and body image. There's a huge mental health aspect in this.
Huge! And when we think of mental health, we usually think about, you know, traditional mental health issues. If you can even call them that. Mental illnesses like anxiety or bipolar disorder, depression. But for some reason, eating disorders are considered in a different light, when in reality, they should be talked about as just another mental health issue. I mean, it's 2021.
It is 2021, but we still have so much work to do here. And this is exactly what we talked about in our last episode. The biggest challenge for eating disorders as mental health issues is that it's a fairly recent concept. No one really paid attention to it up until recently. But, of course, that doesn't mean it didn't exist. Take anorexia, for example. It was one of the first mental illnesses recorded in ancient Greece, meaning this has existed for centuries, but it wasn't until the 20th century when we actually started publicly talking about it.
And you know, the 90s were a turning point in pop culture, where we really saw people start acknowledging the existence of eating disorders. You know, TV shows, celebrities, modeling industry. The conversation about eating disorders really started to shake things up, especially for that industry.
Yeah, no, I totally remember that. The modeling industry started implementing minimum BMIs and taking the health of their models more seriously. However, this was just the start of uncovering the complex issues behind eating disorders. Social pressure, beauty standards, lack of recovery resources, especially during that time.
But the harder thing, honestly, is to solve how to break that cycle, right? Because it is. And it's not just a matter of gaining weight, working out more, eating more, not at all. And that's obviously not the right approach. A lot more importantly, it can put someone's road to recovery at risk.
Of course, and there are still lots of hurdles to overcome, but we are trying to change the conversation around these topics, thankfully.
You know, body positivity is actually an excellent example of that.
Yes, I love it. It's already started to deconstruct those beauty standards and bringing us one step closer to actually loving and accepting ourselves as is, and it's a tough process. Like, I take my own experience into account, but Stretch marks, cellulite, and all of those wonderful things are finally started to be at least more normalized and more accepted because human bodies, right? It is what it is. We're all different. But is it going to solve the problem?
Probably not.
No, but it is a step in the right direction.
And let's not forget that eating disorders have actually, like we said, evolved to become perceived and studied as mental health issues. And this is because our thoughts, right, affect our behaviors. If I believe that my body's ugly and overweight, the thought or sight of food is a painful reminder that I'm unhappy with my body. And that painful reminder leads me to behaviors like restricting, binging, or purging. So making that connection has been instrumental in diagnosing and treating the mental health of people with eating disorders.
Definitely. And let's take a look at the numbers. Teenage females are especially susceptible to develop these disorders. Did you know that by the age of 20, about 13% of youth may experience at least one eating disorder?
It's critical to look at the numbers. And did you know that about 1 to 5% of men will experience an eating disorder in their lifetime? Just in the US, 10 million men will experience an eating disorder. And not to mention that, well, the stigma and culture behind it prevents men from getting the treatment that they need.
This is how critical this topic is. It's not something to turn a blind eye to, it's not a phase, and it actually has one of the highest death rates in any mental illness.
You know, and all this makes me think about next Ramadan. And I think that I need to be more critical about myself and to really try to open that space for others to be able to share. You know, it's the least that I can do.
Yes, definitely. Although it is important to proceed with caution. If you do notice a difference in someone's eating habits in the way that we've described above, don't hesitate and remember to take the necessary actions and advise a person to seek professional help. However, please realize that this is a personal struggle. It really does take one step at a time. So if you do feel like you need to open that conversation, just be wary of the time and the place that you start that.
Honestly, the take-home message from this episode is that regardless of how you look or weigh, remember that those illnesses do not define you, and that regardless of what you are currently going through, you are worthy of a healthier and happier one. You know, I think one of the most beautiful things during Ramadan is being united with others. But it's also difficult when you feel alone despite being with others. So reaching out, first step.
No, of course. And it's all a process. We're humans. We're all works in progress.
And we're always trying to evolve and be better, be more engaging, and to listen more, well, to you. Yes, you.
Yes. And of course, let us know what you think about our podcast and follow us on Instagram at Gens for Health.
And hey, we love seeing those emails. So send us one at generationsforhealth@gmail.com.
We'll be seeing you around next week with more of a free flow episode. Might get crazy.
Hey, can I still joke around?
Till next week, stay healthy.
And stay safe.